Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Kay. How are you doing this evening? Glad to be here.
Okay. All right. Hello, everyone. And welcome to the Kay and Brad Show, where we hear news, information, education, and global communication issues and topics. And we're going to be taking you right into, you know, the show this morning, this evening.
Jeff Dunn is here, and he called me this morning, and he said, when am I supposed to be there? Where were you, Jeff Dunn?
I was here early in the morning, about 7:30 a.m.
Call me on the phone. I said, what? What are you doing there? You have some time, you know? But glad to have you, Jeff Dunn.
Truly my pleasure.
Okay, and also John Harmon, glad to have you.
I'm honored to be here.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Did you have a lot of trouble finding your way or what?
No, easy. Got here very easily.
Okay. Well, these gentlemen are here because they are members of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey, and we are putting on a tribute for Gus Henningberg, my partner, who is coming along, and I'm going to be talking about Gus, of course, later on in the program. And they are going to be telling us about the tribute coming up, because of the fact that it is going to be September 15th at New Jersey Performing Arts Center downtown Newark. So we want to get all of this in and get as much information in as possible. We're going to be giving out phone numbers where you can call for further information and talking about coming down to the Performing Arts Center. You know, that's one fabulous place. And I think there's going to be something else going on there, too, which is going to be absolutely exciting. So you're going to have it at New Jersey Performing Arts Center, John?
That's correct. Yeah. September 15th, starting at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Lasting until?
Until 9.
Oh, okay.
And,
all right.
You know, that's my birthday, too. That makes it even more special.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay. That is absolutely fantastic. And what about you, Jeff?
Oh, I will be there without question. It's going to be historic. And, again, I feel that this is an opportunity to not only honor Gus, but also just to understand that there is a transition in the midst. He is a key component of that.
Yeah. Also, you know, we should tell people something about the African-American African-American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. Now, how long have you all been in existence? And, you know, tell people a little about
Well, I'm the president and founder of the chamber. And I've been in the African-American chamber business now about 15 years. The organization was founded in 2007, and we slowly transitioned into a full-time operation in 2010. And we've been going strong pretty ever since. Newark, the Northern New Jersey Chamber is a part of our network, and also there's a chamber at Atlantic City called the South Jersey African American Chamber. So we're comprised of three independent African American chambers that run under one statewide federation.
Mm. Now, how long? I mean, how many people belong to, you know, the chamber? What would you?
Well, across the state, there's about 600
wow
companies that are involved with the chamber. But the little-known fact about New Jersey, there's about 66,000 African-American businesses in the state of New Jersey. And as you know, we represent 13% of New Jersey's population and generate about $4.5 billion in annual revenue to the state's economy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we find a way. And, you know, Gus, in many respects, was the trailblazer, if you will. If we can leverage the talent with respect to African-American businesses, we can really mass a lot of power to create wealth and jobs for folks in our community.
Okay, what is your business, John?
The chamber is my business.
Okay.
24/7.
Okay, we hear that loud and clear. So John Harmon is the voice that you're hearing now, and he is the CEO of the African-American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. And what about you, Jeff Dunn?
Well,
are you one of the younger ones there?
I am a member of the African-American Chamber. I'm also, again, linked to him as a president of a chamber in Plainfield, New Jersey.
And also, you have your own company.
I have a business incubator, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm, which is located in Plainfield, New Jersey. We've been in existence for over 15 years. We're tied into a couple of major associations, New Jersey BIN, New Jersey Business Incubator Network,
uh-huh,
as well as NBIA, National Business Incubator. And bottom line, our focus is to incubate businesses, take them to the next level. And in New Jersey, we have created over 1,800 higher-paying jobs, created over $155 million, $91 million in third-party funding. Basically, these are some of the stats as far as New Jersey incubators. There's over 13 of us, and I am one of them, proudly. And again, the whole idea is to be the, like I say, the in-between private sector and public sector as far as business development.
Mm. So you all are together, and you've been together for how many years now?
It's been quite a while. I've known Jeff, I guess, probably just under 10 years or so,
mm-hmm,
and on the front lines trying to make it happen. I think we really came together in anticipation of the tunnel project that would connect New Jersey and New York,
mm-hmm,
and working with his father, Malcolm Dunn, and mm-hmm, Carl Evans, and a ton of other talented individuals. We really put together a strategy that would position businesses of color to get an equitable share of that project. And unfortunately, it did not. It didn't happen. But we were ready to go if it were to come to fruition. So, mm-hmm, and from that point forward, we've been kind of tied at the hip,
mm-hmm,
and trying to make things happen for our folks.
That's terrific. Now, how is it that you guys know Gus? Now I know, but let everybody else know. When did you start with him?
Yeah, because my history.
The airport or what?
No, I read about that, but I met Gus, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the specific situation. But I know we were involved during, I think it was Corzine's election. That was the time we met. And Jeff, you might fill in the blanks there. A lot of strategy during the Corzine administration. And it also had to do with the tunnel. So I kind of interfaced with him, but I did not know him as well as Jeff and others have known.
And when you say you had to do with the tunnel, so you're listening to people who really don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about construction jobs regarding the tunnel.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There was a proposed project that was about $8 to $10 billion that would put a tunnel between Jersey City and New York so that they could expand rail traffic into the city of New York. And many of Jeff and his family and others, we worked to ensure that our folks, African Americans and other people of color, would have opportunities in that project.
Exactly.
And you know, I read a lot about Gus. I'd heard a lot about him, and in terms of some of the things he did with respect to blocking the runway at Newark Airport. And you know, that was very courageous.
Blocking, shut it down.
Just to listen. But today, that type of courage is pretty much non-existent in the African-American community. And I'll let Jeff talk a little bit.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I've known Gus for quite some time in regard to through my father. And again, me being a second-generation entrepreneur, I've seen Gus as a godfather. I've known about Gus for well over 20, 25 years since my family was in the maintenance business. So that would even go back as much as 30 years. And basically, as we plow through the various projects and programs such as SBA 8A program and the various economic development that was taking place in the 80s and the 70s and the 90s, but particularly in the 70s and 80s, Gus was in the forefront. He was the pioneer who led these courageous entrepreneurs, including my father, Jim Felton,
Cecil Sanders, Reuben Johnson,
Hank Henderson. I mean, these guys are legendary because they really plowed through. They made, not only did they make a lot of money, but more importantly, they employed a lot of people and gave people hope and basically showed mm-hmm. a new definition of the black businessman. We were no longer that small little ma-pop
right.
storefront, but multi-million dollar mm-hmm. businesses, contractors, doing things nationally and internationally. Gus was the one who was leading us politically, as well as in a lobbying effort, making sure that we were getting and asking for our entitlement.
Mm-hmm. Share.
Not something that was a handout, but something that was we were entitled to.
Yeah.
And basically, he showed us how. He helped us dot the I's, cross the T's, and connect us to the people that matter, the green light people.
Okay. You know, Ben, during the airport demonstration, That wasn't really a demonstration. Gus got angry with because the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey wouldn't respond to him because what he was trying to do was to get African American workers working on the tarmac, building the tarmac at Newark
Airport.
Mm-hmm. And they were ignoring him. So he decided just to walk out there on the tarmac. I don't think he knew that he was going to be stopping the planes from, you know, Boston, from, you know, Washington, et cetera, et cetera. So they sort of lifted him up a little bit and took him into the jail for a minute. But, you know, it really stopped things from flying. Mm-hmm. I don't think he realized, you know, the impact of that. But what happens was that he did get the attention of the people at the New York Port Authority. And that is the Port Authority that is the largest employer, mm-hmm. you know, of people regarding all these different avenues. And they got to talk to him, and they asked him what he wanted. And he said he wanted the construction to be built, including Blacks, Latinos, and women, et cetera, et cetera. That happened. And then he went to Washington, and they asked him what he wanted. He said he also wanted Black businesses at the airport because there weren't any. Mm-hmm. Okay. There are a few with, like, radio. No, I think a shoeshine person, and also maybe newspapers, the Lasseter's, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. But Ed Holder, good friend of his, good friend of mine, we all grew up together in Elizabeth. He had a jewelry, not a concession, he had a kiosk then with his jewelry. As a matter of fact, he used to sell his jewelry in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And he used to put my sister and I out of his store because we want him to give us jewelry. But anyway, so Eddie became the first and only Black duty-free operator in the entire country.
Wow.
And because of Gus, now there are over, I don't know if it's 700 or 7,000 around the country. So when you see any of these Black duty-free operators, mm-hmm. you should tell them that it started in Newark, New Jersey, mm-hmm. with the Newark Airport. So that's really was a big boom. And your father was involved, and Jim Felton was involved, and, you know, all of that. So it was really very important for a change. Now, let's get to Governor Corzine. Before Governor Corzine left office a couple of years ago, we were down at Drumswacket.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's just a strange name for a Drumswacket. And what he did was Corzine signed into legislation mm-hmm. the affirmative action for construction in the state of New Jersey.
Wow.
Okay? So that publicly financed building, especially in Essex County, cannot be built without including Blacks, Latinos, women, etc. Of course, whites, because, you know,
right.
But they couldn't get jobs.
But, so, you know, Kay, what's interesting about what you just shared was that when Gus was asked the question about what do you want, he talked about the people. Today, yeah. Most leaders are inclined to say, what they want for themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the challenge we have today. You know, post Civil Rights Act, we're about 40 plus years beyond the signing of the Civil Rights Act. But 67, we had our first mayor. Today we have over 650 mayors, but over 9,000 some odd Black political leaders across America. And the challenge today is they are not asking for us. They don't have the courage, notwithstanding the fact that within their communities, they have majority populations, many of these freeholder boards,
mm-hmm.
we have the majority, and yet we're still begging. I don't understand that. I think we're still people who don't understand the power of having a majority.
What will it take for them to realize that, you know, you are powerful?
Well, see, the thing I think I understand is basically Nielsen. Nielsen studies basically did a marketing study in reference to African Americans and said that we are spending over $1 trillion as of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We will spend 25% more between 2010 and 2015. That's $250 billion. $1 trillion, $250 billion. But the question is, basically, how much of that is merchants, Black merchants, selling to the Black consumers?
Yes.
A small percentage. And that is where we're going after. We do not have to beg anybody. We do not have to talk to anybody. We don't have to ask anybody. What we need to do is master the things that our people are buying and sell it to them, not because we're Black, but because we're making a product that's globally competitive and basically meets the mark and the needs of our people.
What are some of the businesses that are involved, you know, in the chamber? What kinds of businesses?
Well, we cover the full gamut from construction. We have professional services like law firms, architects, accountants. We have marketing specialists, advertising. We run the full gamut. We have folks that are in the student loan funding business. So we can match up industry, the industry with the mainstream. The challenge is, and I think the chamber is so important in most communities. Let me just digress one second. Most African-American Chamber of Commerce has only been in the United States about 21 years. But Booker T. Washington, dating back then in the late, I guess, early 1900s, he started the Negro Business League, which represented about 40 chambers of commerce, if you will. This was prior to the U.S. Chamber. But that was a way of creating wealth through entrepreneurship. He said, listen, you don't have to go north. Just stay south and start businesses here.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 21st Century Chamber of Commerce that we are running today is based on that model. How do we position our folks to create wealth for themselves so we can employ our own folks?
How do you get to the various communities? You know of Black Enterprise Magazine, you know of a few other magazines, but how are you also positioning yourself to let people know that you exist and that you have all these different kind of services available, you know, to people?
Well,
I've seen magazines and whatnot, but come on.
A couple of ways.
We don't hear you on the radio. We don't see you on television.
Well,
here's your opportunity to, you know.
Well, I'm here today.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll tell your listeners that they can visit our website at aaccnj.com.
Get that again.
aaccnj.com.
Which stands for?
The African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. Our phone number is 609-571-1620.
Give it again.
609-571-1620.
Okay, let's do it one more time and be very slowly with it.
609-571-1620.
Okay, and we're going to be giving that number out again later on during the program. Please get your pens and papers out so that you can copy down some of this information because it is valuable information. And as a matter of fact, this is the first time that I've had the chamber, on the air here at for GoPro Radio Network and the Kay and Gus Show, mainly because of the fact that I don't know why.
I've done it before.
You, because you've been on one of the show with me before when I was doing
it.
What was the name of that show? A Closer Look.
A Closer Look.
And that was on you. That was the NJN.
Well, I want to share is basically that John and I see the opportunity in reference
yeah.
to not only empowering people as far as entrepreneurs, not only empowering people as self-employed, but truly going to the next level of business owners. There's a difference between those who are self-employed and those who are business owners. Self-employed, you have to be there to make the money. A business owner is somebody who makes money with other people, with other resources, so that they can make money while they sleep.
What kind of events do you give that presents some of what you do to the general public?
If I may share, John, we did a program with Senator Lautenberg's. And it was called the Business Clinic. And John was instrumental with that, as well as, again, my organization, New Jersey Bend. And the whole idea is we basically brought a private sector and public sector business development agencies together with 60-70 of them to over 400-600 people in the Newark area for the last 3-4 years to educate them in reference to resources that are out there. And if I may, I want to point out to you that basically incubators are key to that situation. And basically, I say that incubators can incubate the businesses by, one, giving them flexible office space, by, two, giving them consulting services, and by, three, giving them the resources so that they can take themselves to the next level.
Okay, say I need your services as an incubator. I don't know what that means. Can you explain to me, for instance, Jeff, when I come to you and I want to be involved with the incubator business, what does that mean? What do I do? How do I benefit?
Excellent question, Kay. Let me break this down as simply as I can. First, I'll say if you go to the New Jersey NBIA, the National Business Incubator Association, Google it.
What is it again?
National Business Incubator Association, NBIA. Then, basically, as far as more locally, would be New Jersey BIN, NJBIN, New Jersey Business Incubator Network.
Okay.
And then I can't say all this without not saying mine. Mine is the BOSS, Business One Stop Service.
Now, okay. Is that your email?
My website
okay.
is www.thebusinessonestopservice.com. I'm going to spell it. The, T-H-E, business, B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S, one, O-N-E, stop, S-T-O-P, service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E, thebusinessonestopservice.com, the boss.
Is that one spelled out, O-N-E?
O-N-E.
Oh, and the business.
One.
Stop
service, and that's service. Singular, .com.
Okay.
The boss.
.com, and you have to put the boss.
No, you don't have to put the boss.
That's
okay. An acronym.
All right, but www.thebusinessonestopservice.com. So that's your email. That's how to get to you.
Again, basically, when you go there, there'll be info, and they can just put in information there. That's all the information they send right to you.
Okay. Now, John, for your the website for the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey, give that out.
It's AACCNJ.com.
So African American
Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay.
AACCNJ.com.
Okay.
And let me.
Wait. Phone number.
609-571-1620.
Okay. Now, Jeff, what about you for the business incubator?
My phone number is 908-757-5155.
All right, give that again, please.
908-757-5155.
55, okay. Okay, got it. Okay, so that's where people can call for further information. For people who want to join, the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey, they can call your number at the 60 number.
That's correct, or they can go to the website. The information is there, application is there, our history is there. It's a lot of features of events that we've done in the past.
And you do get really very quickly back to people.
Well, we're here to serve.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we believe that African Americans can perform just as well as anyone when the playing field is level. And we want to service our people properly, respectfully, because we run a business.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be treated accordingly. And with respect to your earlier question as to some of the things that we do, first and foremost, we're an advocate for African-American businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And in essence, we're saying our job is to shake the tree, to let society know that you exist, and try to position your business for success. We hold monthly networking events in Newark and in Trenton. And the focus of the events are to provide information, resources, or opportunities that will contribute to the success of business owners.
So, in other words, you set up these courses, if you will, mini courses, if you will, all right? When people come and they can find out how to get their business together, what to do,
need
accountants and all that?
I'll let Jeff speak to that because I think he does a little more of that than I.
Okay.
We focus on established businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring speakers that talk about the latest in terms of what's going on in the economy, what opportunities may exist, what are some of the resources that could position your business to be in a better place next year than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So we put those type of speakers in front of them. We encourage networking. We foster relationships. We facilitate meetings for people that they may not have access to. We hold what we call educational forums where we have folks that industry experts come in and talk about best practices. At the end of the day, we are committed to contributing to the success of African-American businesses. And sometimes we have to go in the spirit of Gus and kick some doors down and let folks know that we are entitled to have access to opportunity. But we make sure that the folks that we bring in won't embarrass us, that they can deliver because we have to deal with all these.
Regardless of what kind of goods and services that you're offering to
absolutely.
The various communities, okay.
At the end of the day, we can ill afford to have someone go forward in the name of an African-American business and not deliver.
Yeah.
Because
what about women?
Do you have
a lot of females, with businesses in the
We have a lot of women. We've just added three. women to our board of directors. We have a small board of about 18 people. Women make up a significant portion of that. Very sharp, talented women from various fields. But I always give kudos to the women. I think they're a lot smarter than men.
We are. Well, we do. You owe us womb and board. Womb, do you hear me? Womb and board.
I hear you.
And you owe us rental fees.
Well, listen.
For the womb.
I'm not finished.
Then you owe us a landing fee.
Wow.
Okay.
Expensive proposition.
So anyway, no, this is really great. Listen, you're going to be someone from your organization is going to be here every Wednesday until the tribute. So let's talk about the tribute now, you know, a little bit more. It is going to be at New Jersey Performing Arts Center once again.
In Newark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to do what I call our national champion of business advocacy prowl. This is a man that has stood the test, not for himself, but for his people. And so we are going to put on an event to really showcase our love and appreciation for all he's done. We're going to start at 6 o'clock and go about an hour and a half with networking. And for those who like to have a nice beverage, we're going to keep the bar open and have plenty of food for you to eat. But more importantly, we're going to give you an opportunity to really network and build relationships, because we're about perpetuating the legacy that Gus Hindenburg had laid down. We want a New Jersey over time to reflect the same level of success for black businesses that Maynard Jackson created in Atlanta. I think we can surpass that.
Do you know that during Maynard Jackson's realm down there when he was mayor, how he got together with Gus? They had known each other anyway, but he did ask Gus to come down and ask him to do what he did in Newark at the airport there in Atlanta. And that's what that was all about, with that long-term relationship with Maynard Jackson down there. So there's a whole lot of different stories that are really exciting. Plus the fact that the Newark Housing Authority, you've seen that Stella Wright, the renovation of Stella Wright Home. And you've seen all the building on the brick towers, for instance, and the new. I've been in those apartments. Let me tell you, they are absolutely fantastic.
Wow.
They are public housing. And Gus was instrumental in the tenant rent strike of Stella Wright. In other words, the tenants were striking because of the fact that the people who owned the buildings there, the city at that time, you know, under other mayors, you know, weren't doing anything for them. There were a lot of things wrong, so they withheld the rent. And they asked Gus to hold on to the money, and he did. And so, therefore, they started getting things done. And there are a number of, you know, the buildings right on High Street in Newark that is as a result, direct result to what he did at Stella Wright. The destruction of the blowing up of those public housing, you know, when he did it at that time, you know, and letting his grandchildren, you know, push the button and blowing them up, or imploding them, I should say, was quite a feat. Mm-hmm. And now he really actually changed the look of public housing in the entire country.
Mm-hmm. But
so
he also,
that's what a lot of people don't know, and that's really very powerful.
It's very powerful.
But I think the point you make, and I'll pass it over to Jeff here, is the power of the dollar, the economic power. We have a lot of leverage with that, and we choose not to use it. But just to continue on the event, we've confirmed former Mayor David Dinkins of New York to do the keynote. Former Governor Tom Kaine has confirmed, and we plan to have a very short, intimate program, but really speaking to our appreciation for the work that Gus has done. And this is. There's going to be limited seating there, so we encourage those who desire to come. Don't wait until the last minute. You maybe find yourself looking through the window, waving in, and hope you could come in and fellowship with all the good food, the good networking, and beverages that are going to be passed. But, Jeff, why don't you say a few things?
The thing I want to say is basically this is not a time to be timid. This is a time to be bold. This is a time to really take the bull by the horns and really go for it. We have a tunnel project that's on the horizon.
Yes.
It is not It is not going to be stalled any further beyond 2013. It's going to happen. And this project is over $15 billion.
And that's a huge project.
I have to break down how huge it is.
Okay.
It is not a small project. It's a huge project.
But tell what this is. This is the tunnel being built between New York and New Jersey that people go through every day.
And this project is estimated to be $15 billion. $15 billion. And that makes it a giga project. Before I talk about a giga project, let me talk about a mega project. A mega project is a project over $1 billion. Now, if we go with the goals that's already on the book, that can be anywhere from 10 to 20%. 10% of $1 billion is $100 million. 20% is $200 million. Now, with a giga project, let's just go with a conservative number of 10, although I told you 15. 10% of $10 billion is $1
billion. Yeah.
20% is $2 billion. That is more than enough opportunity. Now, even though the government can only do projects in $50 million bites, that means we're going to have to work together. Now, they say we can't work together. That's a lie. And we're going to make that happen.
Well, how do you bid on projects like this? How do construction companies get involved? What kinds of construction are we talking about?
We're going to
break that down.
We're going to put that information out. It's too much to say right now, but we're going to have, again, information that goes out. They come to the website. They, again, John's website. There'll be of information. Because here's the situation. They have to include us. It's the law. Okay,
yes.
Now, I'm not just talking about minorities. I'm talking about small business. I'm talking about women-owned business, and I'm talking about minorities. But let's just talk this small business, which includes women and minorities. We have a great opportunity here. There's more than enough. This is what they call a BHAG, okay? BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal. It's huge. It's so big that everybody can see their slight. Nobody's talking about where's mine. It's big. It's hairy. It's audacious, and it's a goal, and we have to go after it.
Well, now, that's you're talking about construction mainly that tunnel. Am I right?
See, but you got to understand, Kay, there's construction, there's administration, there's staffing, there's, again, you name it, it's there.
Okay.
Do not tie in just construction where basically people are just working outside with the construction board.
Yeah.
There's a lot of high tech. There is also electrical. There's plumbing.
Yeah.
There is many, many, many. And again, my thing is basically keep your eyes open. Tune in to the African American Chamber of Commerce because we're going to make sure that we have everything there. By the way, Kay, in my incubator, I have a satellite office of the SBA, SBDC, and SCORE.
And what are they?
Small Business Administration.
SBA is the Small Business Administration.
SBDC, Small Business Development Center.
Okay.
And then SCORE, Corps of Retired Executives.
Mm-hmm.
SBA has resources in reference to small business. Go to the website, www.sba.gov.
Service Corps of Retired
Executives.
Retired executives. Explain a little bit more about
men and women who have retired for over 20 years, giving their services free for the asking. All you have to do is go online and set an appointment, and they are all over the country.
So how can they get in touch with you again? That sounds very exciting for the seniors that we have listening.
www.score.gov. Okay, and basically go to them and then basically tie into the local office that's near them anywhere in the country, not just in New Jersey, not just in New York.
Okay, but now look. Now, people are hearing this, and I'm quite sure a lot of people are very excited about it,
and they're probably
wondering, you know, how in the world can this happen? I know that the guys in New York have had a lot of trouble with construction, you know, getting involved with construction in New York, by the way, okay, because they used to call Gus all the time, and we used to also cover that when I was on WLIB radio. Now, let's have one number here that people can call if they want information specifically about the tunnel and all the businesses involved. For instance, you need lighting, you need construction workers, you need what else do you need?
Okay,
all these different kinds of categories.
The main thing that is important is that they are certified.
And we're talking about established businesses now. It's certified by this. Okay.
It's important that they understand this. If we're going to do this, we need to do this right. And basically, there's a certification process. And they are basically in New York and New Jersey, as well as federal. One agency I did not mention, that's PTEC, Procurement Technical Assistance Center, okay? And they are the special forces, okay, whose primary job is to link private sector to government contracting. And through there, you can basically get everything that you need. But the key thing is you need to be certified. And there's at least 9 different types of certification. Because here's the situation, kids, you understand. The government is moving away from paper and going to a paperless process.
Yes.
Here's the situation. You cannot go pick up a RFP, request for proposal.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get it downloaded. You have to have, again, your certification so that you have the opportunity.
Suppose nobody, suppose older people can't do that. They don't know how to use the computers like that. Do you have, you know, that kind of thing after your...
Excellent point, Kay. First, I'm going to say, move to the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen. Get there quick. If you don't have an email, get one tomorrow. Ask your son or daughter, especially the ones under
18. There you go. Ask your son or your daughter. That's what you need to say.
The next thing is basically you need to go beyond, again, your email. You need to get on that website. You need to get, again, get that smartphone. You need to understand that technology is going to be your key to opportunity.
Do you provide services for senior citizens to come into the 21st century? And in other words, do you also provide, you know, seminars or, you know, whatever it is, learning for seniors to come in to learn how to work those computers?
Now, listen, in regards to that, that is an opportunity where they tie into the Workforce Investment Board, the One Stop, which basically its whole primary focus is to link private sector to human services, as well as training and job employment opportunities, all under one roof, which is called a one-stop. But basically, one-stops are the operations of the Workforce Investment Board. There's a Workforce Investment Board in every county that has over 500,000 people throughout the country.
Okay, now there's not one area of business that people, when they call you, that they can't get information about. Is that right? When they call,
that's right.
All they have to do is call that number, and they will be directed to the place where they need to be. Is that correct?
For the one stop, as far as training, yes.
Okay.
As far as business is concerned, that does not exist.
Can they call the general number, John Harmon?
I'm listening.
Your general number, because I don't want to give out too many numbers here.
But
you know?
I mean, I want to make it clear.
It can be confusing.
I want to make it clear to the listeners. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 609-571-1620 is the main number.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and we answer that number. But the point I really want to drive home: this is the Chamber of Commerce is for established businesses.
Okay.
These are folks that know what they're doing, have been doing it for a while, and we can assist those. Those who still have to develop their business, we could refer them to Jeff's organization or the Small Business Development Center.
Okay.
But clearly, this is for folks that know how to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to be flip about that or sound crude, but the bottom line is
these
are for established businesses.
Okay, right. But people calling can get information. They said you will probably give them a number for them to call about any of their needs if it's involving business.
Hey, to answer your question pointedly, I did a webinar with New Jersey Institute of Technology, which basically did a clear webinar on all that.
What
they
is
had.
A webinar?
A webinar is a seminar on the web. That's why it's called a webinar. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But bottom line is,
so you go on the computer, which is on the web.
Maybe more pointed. Go to my website, www.thebusinessonestopservice.com, and you will see a link on there in reference to the webinar in regard to business opportunity. Go to that webinar, and you'll need to basically tap in and point and shoot and go there, and everything is right there. I have it all printed out. I actually am one of the facilitators. It's right there.
Okay.
And
they
have to download iTunes, and through that they'll be able to have the resources they need.
Okay. All right. Now through that information, through the webinar.
Yes.
Which you have explained to people what it is. That's what they have to go through.
Yes, they go to my webinar,
webinar,
and I go into great detail of everything I said in detail for over.
What's the definition of webinar? That is a what?
A seminar that is on a website.
Okay.
That basically goes over everything, so you have access to it. Okay. That's a webinar.
Okay.
Webinar is a website, and seminar blends together.
Okay, that gives a lot of information. So that's a webinar.
Webinar.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Simply.
Okay. All right. Okay. So there we have it. So let's get back to the tribute. The tribute is on the 15th. Why did you happen to choose New Jersey Performing Arts Center?
Well, Gus was very instrumental in having that building constructed.
That's right.
The efforts and, the sacrifice he made to ensure that people that look like Jeff, I, and yourself were included on that project, particularly those in the Newark community. He took a hard position. You know, the building does not get built unless folks in this in the Newark community had an equitable share of participation, and we thought thought it to be the most appropriate place to pay homage to Gus for the work he's done, to take him back to a place that he was very instrumental in having constructed.
Yeah, and I will say this too, that had not it happened that there were blacks, women, whites, Latinos, people working there, it would not have been built. Mm-hmm. You know, you would have had a long delay. So he really, you know, put that together with making sure that that building was built by a vast majority, not a vast majority, but, you know, a wide section of people who lived, you know, in Newark, and who are minorities,
mm-hmm.
you know, because all up to this particular point, even now, if you look at some of the construction sites or you know, going on in Newark and elsewhere in the state of New Jersey, you very seldom see black workers on there.
Well, you know, that leads me to another point. You know, Jeff talked about this huge tunnel project
yeah.
that's going to take place. But I think the point that we miss, citizens of the community every day, is that there's millions of dollars spent in communities every day.
Exactly.
I live in the city of Trenton. We have a school district that has a $300 million budget. The city budget between the water utility and city government is probably another $300 million. So in a city as small as Trenton, there's $600 million that underwrites the operation of the school district and also city government.
Uh-huh.
So there are opportunities right in your backyard. So I look at a city like Newark, clearly the local budget has to be north of $1 billion, mm-hmm. I would suspect. The school district is probably another $1 billion. And then you have all these other public housing facilities. And so we're leaving millions of dollars on the table
that's
every
right.
day when
that's
we walk
right.
out our doors. And I think it's criminal. I have a real problem with that. When we are the majority population in these communities, the leadership looks like us, but yet we're begging to exist in our own community. Unemployment is through the roof.
Well, how can you change that?
Well, that's why that's one of the things that the chamber is working hard at every day.
Okay.
The reason we established luncheons recently in Newark, I think we've been there now a couple of months, is to drive this message home, because we take that for granted.
Okay, so you'll have an avenue here, you know, on the Kay and Gus Show.
Absolutely.
Okay,
well,
so we're going to be featuring this every single week until, you know, the 15th of September, when Gus is the tribute to Gus is going to be held. But also, we can go beyond that. And I would like to let people know that you exist, and that you exist for, you know, not playing games, a very serious business. Because if we're making all this money, we're spending all this money, then certainly, you know, the African-American community should be partaking, you know, of you know, the services.
It's only right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, the main thing I want to put across is that Gus made it clear to us in reference to the understanding of the close relationship between politics and business and
mm-hmm.
business and politics.
Yeah.
Good point.
They're kissing cousins. It's not something that's discussed in business school.
Yeah.
But bottom line, you cannot have a business without having political allies. But you need to know what to ask for. And you need mm-hmm. to know when to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not pay to play. It's part of the process. You need to contribute to the party and or the candidate who is going to serve you and your community. And those that don't, you need to stop putting them in office.
Period.
Okay, and we need to advocate clearly that we understand the process, we're going to participate in the process, and we're going to make it work so that it benefits us, so that we can participate in the wealth building as well as the other parts of the society.
Absolutely. Now, you know, what I'm going to do right now is we want to open up the phones for people who may have some questions for you. Let me give that number out to our listening audience. By the way, I want to say hello to Jerno in Dominica. You know, we got to talk on the phone. Jerno, I'm saying hello to you, as I promised. He's in Dominica in the Caribbean. So hello, Jerno. Okay, so let me see. The number for you to call, by the way, to talk to Jeff Dunn and to talk to John Harmon from the African-American Chamber of Commerce. You've been hearing how exciting it is and how they are building their organization so that you can very easily partake of it and get all the information that you need for your particular business. Okay, that number for you to call, the call-in number is 323-679-0906. Phones are open right now. 323, everyone. 679-0906. give you a couple minutes until you get your pens and papers, because I'm going to give out the number once again. While I'm waiting for the calls to come in, 323-679-0906. That's the number for you to call here for the Kay and Gus Show here at GoPro Radio Network or VW Moving Images. You can get VW Moving Images on your YouTube. You can get it on, go to GoPro Radio Network, go to Blog Talk Radio, and then type in the Kay and Gus Show. K is spelled K-A-E, and then make sure you type out A-N-D, and then G-U-S for Gus Show. And it says, please announce this. Join philosopher, social critic, A. Shahid Stover, singer, media activist, with Ayanna Jones, and radical intellectual community organizer, Kizembe Balogun, at the Breck Forum on August 9th. 2:12, 7:30 p.m. Is today August 9th?
Tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow's August 9th for a Black August special. Post-racialism, post-blackness, and post-modern Uncle Tom's? Wow, that's going to be interesting. Are we living in a new progressive post-racial era? What is the relationship between claims of a black, a post-black what? I can't see that other word. Advanced neoliberal capitalist globalization. I can't see the rest of the words here. Does the over something... Anyway, we'll go through that last sentence a little later on. So, okay. So, this is the Kay and Gus Show. All right. Are we living in a new progressive post-racial era? What is the relationship between claims of a post-black either advanced neoliberal capitalist globalization? Does the overwhelming prevalence of an assimilationist black consciousness mean such terms as Uncle Tom and sellout or outdated? These questions and more will be critically examined from diverse yet rigorous perspectives of global emancipatory theory. Okay, is that Ayanna's show coming up? Yes, no, Ayanna's show coming up. Okay, wow, I'm going to be listening in, Ayanna, by all means. Okay, okay, everyone. And so do we have somebody on the phone? 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906. By the way, just to let you know, Ali Al Rahman has a book out, everyone. Ali Al Rahman was the head of the Guardians, the black policeman, when we were on WLIB. He now has a book out. I'm going to be talking to him sometime within the next 2 weeks. The name of his book is We Learn by Trial, by Dr. Ali Al Rahman. And it tells you all about, you know, what was happening in WLIB during the time when there was so much civil unrest and cops were beating up black folks, to be perfectly honest about you. You heard of the Amadou Diallo case, you heard of, you know, Abner Louima, you've heard of a number of things. We were on the air during that time and there were a whole lot of different movements going on. One was the Black Consciousness Movement, and we helped to change, you know, a lot of things in New York and New Jersey. And yes, we were right there with it, and we intend to continue being right there with it. However, right now we are talking about, you know, Gus's, tribute coming up, and I'm going to be talking more about the things that he has had a part in. And we're going to go to the calls right now. You are on the air. Yes, hello, you're on the air. Do we have that call already? Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Can't hear you. You have a call.
Hi, can you hear me?
We're broadcasting live on the air, and I'm waiting for the caller.
Hello, can you hear me?
323-679-09.
Hello.
Talk to John Harmon from the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey.
Hello.
Jeff Dunn from the Chamber also, who is the founder of the
Incubator.
Okay, so the number that you can call. Hello, are you there?
Okay, yes, can you hear me?
Getting that call through. But the number that you can call about the tribute and to talk to John and to talk to Jeff, that is that 609 number. John, and what is it again? 609-571-1620. And if you call there, even though we're not giving out Jeff's number again right now, all you have to do is ask for Jeff's number. Believe me, they're very accommodating there.
Absolutely. Jeff's a member of the family.
Jacqueline is there, so she's very accommodating, a lovely lady. Once again, to get to the Chamber of Commerce fellows and ladies, I'm looking at this 2 minutes. I only have 2 minutes. What does that mean? Okay. All right. Anyway, the number for you to call, the Chamber of Commerce, the African-American Chamber of Commerce, located in New Jersey, That number is 609-571-1620. And then you can get more information about the tribute for Gus, you know, September 15th at New Jersey Performing Arts Center downtown Newark, okay? Also, you know, for those of you who want to, you know, get more information about Legal Shield, you know, we were talking about Legal Shield. Tune in next week and we're going to give you information about how you can get your legal services, you know, for very inexpensive money. I was telling you that I'm a member of Legal Shield, and I pay, what is it? I was, when I first joined, it was prepaid, and I paid $9.95 to have access to an attorney for a number of different things. But right now, you'd have to pay about $26. So you really want to know about that. We're going to be talking that. The caller is back on the air. Hello, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
So I was wondering, you know, I'm a young person trying to start my own business, and I was wondering, you know, what advice can you give to me to start my own business? And, you know, is there any way that you could possibly help me?
Help you what? Help you start your own business?
Yes. Like, okay. What's the first step that I should take into starting my business and helping it grow and flourish?
Okay, Jeff Dunn, you want to take that?
Well, first you need to establish what kind of business you want to create. The main thing is basically put together the information necessary to fill out a business plan. You can go to the website, SBA, www.sba.gov, and pull up their free template of a business plan and go from there. But my point of view is always basically, rather than trying to figure it out, work with somebody who's already doing what you want to do, become their right hand, become so indispensable that basically they cannot run their business without you. And then you'll get to become a right hand. And what happened with that is that you will run their business, and you will run their business at their expense, and you will learn all that you need. But you need to be under somebody. You need to get some apprenticeship, and you need to understand the realities of the business by working with someone who's already where you want to be.
First, she has to determine what kind of business she is in, and
what,
you know, a little bit. What about a business plan? Is it necessary for them to have a business plan?
The business plan is basically it's going to ask the questions that help you think through the structure, the plan, the foundation of your business.
In other words, you have to talk about what the business is, what you need.
Let me go over. Basically, you need to have an understanding of what you offer, whether it be service and or product. You need to know who is your market. You need to know where you're going to sell your product, who you're going to sell it to, where you're going to get the financing, who's going to be your management team, how are you going to put it all together, when you're going to put it all together, how big you're going to be, how small you're going to be, are you going to be in the city, are you going to be in the suburbs, are you going to be in your home, are you going to have an office? These are the type of questions. I'm just touching the bare basic questions. But again, a business plan will, again, promote thought for you to think about the details that you need to think about. You need to be clear, because you do not need to gamble. You need to make calculated risk with a good plan, with under the counsel of people who are business people who can give you the insight of what to expect in the real world, and not a storybook textbook that you got in somebody's romantic theory of what a business is.
Uh-huh. Okay. Does that answer anything? Hello, are you there? Well, what she probably really wants is how to go about it from the bottom up. In other words, you have to have an idea of what your business is. You have to be able to, you know, explain what it is, what your goals are, what you want to do, and all that sort of thing from the very basics. Now, you guys deal with established businesses, so therefore they have to go through. And she's obviously a young person, so it's like step by step process.
The main thing I would say to you, for somebody who is brand new, whether it be young or old, they need to basically tap into the association of the business that they're going in, because the association will have done the due diligence, will have done the work that will give them the insight of what to expect, what's the reality, who's the big, who's the small, why they're big, why they're small, why they're successful, how they're successful. Again, by joining the association, they will see all the mentors, all the success stories, all the examples of what they need to do and how they need to do it. Again, key is the association.
Okay, I think I'm hearing some music right now. Does that mean we're about ready to go off the air, Shauna?
Dave, may I ask?
Okay.
I'm going to say one thing.
Yes, go right ahead.
The Legal Shield situation is something that I'm tied into, and I want to say to you,
terrific.
It's a very powerful program. For more information, go to Jeffrey N. Dunn, JeffreyNDunn LegalShield.com.
That's right. That's absolutely right. There we go. Thank you, John Harmon.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Look forward to the next time.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff Dunn.
I am honored to be here.
Thank you, Gus Henningberg. I'm Kay Thompson. And I'll be joining you next week for the Kay and Gus Show. Remember, we're heard all over. So until then, over and out.